所以可能在他打足球的时候我已经是白头发的人了。
But his name is really long. It's Paul Jacob Grayson Ray the Third.
他的名字很长，是
And my name is very long. It's Paul Livingston, after the missionary, Wang Jr. And together this morning, we're going to talk also about another man who also had a name change. More importantly, he had an internal change.And his life went from performing to one of significance. So what I'd like to do this is, because I know this is a multi-generational, multilingual congregation today, I'd like us to actually get to know each other. So with this question in the background, who are some top performers that you admire? I want you to go find five people, and specifically, I want you to find two people that are kind of in your same age range, and you have to find three people that are not in your age range, and I want you to go talk to them. I'm going to give you exactly 2 minutes, so please stand up, get out of your seats, cross the aisles, shake hands, and ask them who is someone that they think is a top performer that they admire.Please stand up and let's get to know one another. Hi, thank you. Sorry, I got the notes to you yesterday.
I need the Bible verse.
Perfect. Okay.I've tried to shorten a little bit, so if you need an extra copy, okay.
I read your whole sermon. This is 12 pages long. It's a really good one, and I learned a lot.
Okay, I added 3 more pages, so we finished by 3:15.
Yeah, normal.
Okay, I'll try to finish by 3:05, and then we can always continue next time. Okay, so who do you admire as a top performer?
Steve Jobs.
Yeah, that's for me. I love Steve Jobs. I love Jeremy Lin.
Yeah,
Jeremy Lin right now is...
Tebow.
I love Tebow. Sports figures I love.
Yeah.
That's Pastor Singh. Okay. One more minute. Pastor Singh, who do you admire? Who's a top performer?
Yeah.
Billy Graham? Okay. Hi, I'm Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Who's a top performer for you, Robert?
Well,
Steve Jobs?
No, I don't like him.
You don't like Steve Jobs?
Yeah.
How about you? I'm Paul.
I'm Iris.
Iris.
I like Matthew Bellamy from Beatles band.
Okay. Nice. Okay.
Well, we have three tennis, so...
Andy Roddick? Frederick?
Certainly Einstein is the one.
Okay.
Sense, right?
Which one?
Einstein.
You know
Einstein?
Einstein.
Yeah.
Einstein. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Okay. Okay. In 15 seconds. Is this on? In 15 seconds, if we could just have some people shout out. Just raise your hand and shout out who you admire. Deacon Eric.Michael Jordan. I heard Einstein from Robert over there. I heard Steve Jobs from G Chen. Come on, raise a hand. Jeremy Lin. Jeremy Lin is my favorite. He is, Jeremy Lin. I heard that many of you went to watch a San Antonio game a couple weeks ago, right? I saw that there were 3,000 tickets at 3 o'clock that day, and by 5 o'clock I was deciding to go down, sold out. All the Asians bought them out.I was in Vancouver last weekend, And everywhere you went, because Vancouver has many Asian people, Jeremy Lin, Jeremy Lin, Jeremy Lin. There's T-shirts, there was sweatshirts, everything. Jeremy Lin in Vancouver. And there's many reasons why we admire people that are top performers, top achievers. Now, how many people heard this? And I know today is April Fool's Day, but how many people heard this, that Jeremy Lin is out for the season now? You guys heard this yesterday? And this is not April Fool's. He has an injury in his knee. He's out for 6 weeks, which means the whole season. And, you know, he needs our prayer because hopefully he gets picked up for another contract. What I love about Jeremy Lin is we know his story, that he was he barely made the NBA. He was passed on by two teams. And when he started to perform and perform well, everybody wanted him. But he's injured now. And there's a question mark. And that's life. And so this morning, we are going to look at a man who lived many years ago. He was at the same crossroads that you and I and Jeremy Lin are at this morning. He was a performer who spent his life dreaming about the big win. The day that he would be heralded the best. He was like you and I. He was defined by what he did. And his livelihood, his future, depended upon his performance. The only difference between him and us is that you are a student. You are a mother. You are a father. You are an engineer. You are a computer programmer. And he was a fisherman. His name was Simon Peter. We've all had times in life where we've been devastated by a poor performance. Some of us have a place that we go in those moments of disappointment. So in the story that we are about to read together, we set up by Simon Peter had been fishing for 12 hours and caught nothing. So we know he was tired. We know that he was humiliated in front of his crew. And we knew that he had nothing to bring home to his wife. People depended on his performance. Men and families. And so while he was there cleaning his nets by himself, there was a crowd of people next to him. And he began to listen to this new teacher, Jesus. And there was a crowd, there was thousands of people. In this life, we are controlled by our performances and the opinions of others. We lose sight of what it means to live a life of significance, and we opt for performance. Dr. David Cook says this, Success is a destination, while significance is an eternal calling.
Dr. David Kurtz 说，成功是一个目标，然而，生命的意义是一个永恒的护照。
Dr. David Cook is a coach, a sports coach. He coaches San Antonio Spurs to 2 victories.
Dr. David Cook 是San Antonio 马刺队的教练，并带领他们赢得了两次冠军。
So even though I know that usually we have scripture nowadays on technology and we use it and we put it on the screen, if you have a Bible, please open to Luke chapter 5.
我们知道现在先进技术，我们可以把
Luke chapter 5, we'll start in verse 1.
5
And as we go there, just put your hand in that spot, and I want you to listen to this. Are we ready to open God's Word together this afternoon? We call them the living words. Because it changes lives. It gives life where there's emptiness and disappointment. We also call them living because each time we open the Bible, it speaks to us in a life-transforming way. It is up to you to listen or to cast it aside. No one can make that choice except for you and for me. So let's pray together. God, I pray that these words would become living, that it would become alive, that you would be the one speaking to us, even though this happened many, many years ago. So God, I pray that we would drown out the noise of the world, the busyness of work, the busyness of school, whatever pressures we may face, God, I pray, God, that we'd be able to open our heart and our mind to you, first and foremost. In your name we pray, amen. On the scripture slide, or in your Bible, we'll have both versions, and here's what I'm going to do. We're going to read this together, simultaneously. So each slide will have one verse. Chinese is in the bottom portion. English is in the top portion. Let's read this together, and starting in verse 1, okay? Luke chapter 5, verse 1. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. Verse 2. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Verse 4. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." And lastly, in verse 11, so they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. As we look into the scripture together, I want you to picture yourself as Simon. Now, I know I mentioned to you that my son has a very long name. He's Paul Jacob Grayson Wang III. And then here in the same text, we have Simon, and then he's Simon Peter, and then he's back to Simon. Together from this point on the sermon, we'll just refer to him as Simon Peter.
From, 现在开始, 我们讲到当中就说是西门彼得,
I want you to gather in your rows, probably groups of four or five, and I want you to spend 2 minutes on these questions here. What? Imagine yourself as Simon Peter. What are you thinking and feeling in the first three verses of this story? What are you doing? What do you see? How do you feel? Okay, quickly, 2 minutes, talk together in your rows.
就是四五个人组成一组，然后来看，儒家福音一到三节，思想下面这三个问题，就是你在干什么？你看见了什么？你的感受如何？思想你自己就是西门彼得。
Okay, go. I'm going to grab you two. I'm going to move you over there to talk with some old people. Okay, come on. Grab you two. Two red shirts. And then you guys are going to be a group. I want to grab you two. And then you're going to go. You should bring your dad with you, too. And I want you to join that row there. Okay? You, okay? Just ask them how they feel. Ask them what they're doing. Yeah, you got that one. How do you think Simon Peter is feeling at this point?
I think probably he is trying to cast it out from the crowd because the crowd was listening to Jesus' teaching. He was alone, feels defeated, pretty down.
Yes.
Pushing the net.
Yeah.
So what he saw is the crowd of people there. He was alone, like, pretty down.
Probably feels a little bit jealous that they get to relax while he has to still keep on cleaning and he has nothing for it. Okay. Okay, I got 25 minutes. Okay, I'm gonna go a little faster. So I'll try to break down the sentences. I'll go shorter and we'll go faster. Okay. Three, four sentences break. Okay. Sure. Okay. So how does Peter feel? How does Peter feel the next morning? He's had just an awful performance. He has nothing in his nets. Now, a lot of people don't know this. Peter was actually married. And if I were him, and if I told my wife I was going to spend 12 hours away from the home, and I came back with no fish, she'd be really upset with me. Because she'd be taking care of a crying baby for 12 hours while I was out on a boat. We know that Peter's married because in chapter 4, just a couple of verses earlier, Jesus appeared and healed his mother-in-law. So parents in this room, we know how Peter feels because we know what it's like to have the pressure of trying to provide for a family. We would do anything for our children. When my father first came to North America, it was a different racial climate back then. He had a physics degree, but he couldn't find work as he was studying. And all those available in the 1960s and 70s was bottom, low-rung jobs. He sold newspapers. He sold used cars. He worked at a grocery store. He cleaned toilets. I can only imagine how hard it was to put food on the table. Because I've never worried about putting food on the table. I've always had food on the table. But at the same time, reality is I have a friend, Mark, who is my age. His life is ups and downs. He's a very experienced teacher. He's taught for over 20 years. Last month, the Round Rock School District told him that his contract would not be renewed. So he has no work. And we meet bi-weekly to talk about things. He takes 3 different medications now to help with his depression. So I can relate to the fear of failure, and some of us can relate to the pressure performance that Peter had that morning. Now, my young friends, do you know, we know what it's like because many of your parents have also studied North America. We have the pressures of preparing for SATs, we have the pressure of tutoring, we have the pressure of school. It's harder and harder to get into the top universities now. There is indeed pressure. So Jesus, I'm sorry, I was going to look in your Bibles at verses 1, 2, and 3. So Jesus stops in the middle of his teaching and looks directly at Simon Peter, asking Simon Peter for his help. The people were crowding in so much that they could not hear him teach. He needed a better pulpit from which to teach, so he asked to borrow Simon Peter's boat. Simon Peter must have thought, my boat, it stinks like fish. Why do you want to preach from a boat? Simon Peter is also probably saying, I'm so tired, I've been up all night, I want to go home. He just wanted to say, sorry Jesus, I'm really tired. Simon Peter, though, eventually agrees, and he paddles Jesus out a little from the shoreline. I really want to show you a picture, so just give me 30 seconds. I want to make sure that I can show you this picture. Sorry. The computer did?
Yeah.
No, I think it's... No, it's dead. Okay, let's just try this. Okay, it's okay. Sorry, my laptop's dead. Okay, here's the 3 pictures I had. The Lake Gennesaret is also known as the Sea of Galilee. If you've been to the area, and I never have, but based on pictures, it shows that there's lots of rocky cliffs. And there's an interesting natural phenomenon that happens in these cliffs. It becomes a natural amphitheater if you actually pull out to shore. So actually, by Jesus going out in his boat, he's being very resourceful. And what people have found out is that if you go out a certain distance, you can speak. And in that area, you can project out to 5,000 to 7,000 people in the area can hear you without a microphone. So I had a picture of where they think the area was with these rolling hills and people looking at the sea. The second picture was a shot from space from NASA where you can see the Great Cliffs topographically. But the video was what I really wanted to show you. Although it's not in the sea, there are these cliffs in Argentina where it's the same phenomenon, rocky cliffs, and you can have 500 people in an area, and one lone musician just whistles and plays a guitar, and all 500 people can hear him because of the way the cavern is set up. And I'm spending time developing this because think about this. We think that Jesus is talking to Peter, right? And yet, everyone can hear what they're saying. So in verse 4, where Jesus says to Simon Peter, square in the eyes, push out into the deep waters and let down your net for a catch. Imagine thousands and thousands of people hearing murmurs of this, Jesus speaking this to Peter. Why would Simon Peter go along with this request? We could respond the way Simon Peter did and let down the nets thinking, I am the fisherman, not this teacher Jesus. I know more about fishing than Jesus. I know more about where they should be than Jesus would. I am the expert. Jesus, please stick to preaching. Secondly, Jesus, this is just a small boat. Come on, you're being foolish. If we go into deep waters, a storm could come up at any time. And in these parts, we could be in very bad trouble. And then thirdly, Jesus, this is my boat. I'm the captain. I get to call the shots. What would it say to my crew on shore watching this if I gave in to you? Who would listen to me afterwards, especially if we get caught in a storm or if we come back with nothing in my nets? And we can see this, right? The large crowd was not only watching, but we know it was possible that they were listening. It was like a performance. It was actually a performance for everyone to see. I know what I would have done. I would have made an excuse, or I would have politely backed out. And each response is a valid response. Depending on when Jesus catches me in my life. I haven't always listened and just done what Jesus wanted me to do. I make excuses. I have my polite arguments with Jesus. But each of these excuses would create a different account. And if someone on the outside were looking in, trying to read the Bible that God has given them, that is, you and I are sometimes the only Bible that our friends will ever read. They read our life. When they read our life story, will it be the excuses and the reasons that we give that convince them that there is a hope? Or will it be the obedience that we give to Jesus, which will let people say there is something definitely true about what this person is doing? Okay, I'm going to pause here for a second. Can you go back three slides? Two more? Okay, so this is the this is Lake Gennesaret, part of the Sea of Galilee. You can see that this could accommodate thousands and thousands of people. And then the next picture is a shot from space. And you can see that the terrain here, there's rocky cliffs all around here. And you can, in multiple spots around this sea, around this lake, you could have this projected projected auditorium, amphitheater. Okay. And I'll just share with you 20 seconds of the next video clip. If you could show the next video clip. Can you turn the sound up? Okay, good, thanks. Okay, on verse 4. This account, the calling of the first disciples, is recorded in each of the Gospels. John, Matthew, and Mark actually do it very short, in less than 3 to 4 verses. Luke in his biography of Jesus actually includes several more details, two in particular. And these two details are the details that I'd like us to open up and perhaps look into our own life. The first one is that Luke specifically says that Jesus calls the disciples, whereas in Matthew, Luke, and John, it's more about they discover who Jesus is, they're attracted to him, and they follow. But Luke is very careful here that Jesus actually invites people and calls people to him. The second idea that Luke introduces is that along this journey, sin, as we encounter it, will hold us back along the journey, and we need to go to Jesus with our sin. The key to unlocking this question about calling can be kind of similar to what Peter says when he says, I'm willing to give it a try, I'm willing to let you captain the boat for a little while. Right, in verse 5, eventually Simon Peter says, because you say so, I will let down the nets, I'm going to give this a try.
Just像在第五节西门说, 但依从你的话,
It's an act of faith and obedience to this teacher, even though conventional wisdom and experience and his professionalism in fishing would frown upon taking the small vessel out into the deep water. So he says, let's try this. Let's trust Jesus. The real risk was not to go. 6 and 7 tell us what happens as a result.
第七、第八节就是他行动的结果。
He witnessed the greatest success of his fishing career.
他遇见了他打鱼生涯中最大的成就。
The success was so overwhelming that he signaled and he needed help from another boat.
这个巨大的收获让他不知所措，只好叫同伴来帮忙。
Remember what we said about Dr. David Cook's statement that significance is more important than just success? The story could have just stopped here. It would have just been marked as another miracle. Right? Peter could have just been left alone by Jesus, and then Jesus would have went on to teach another place or perform another miracle somewhere. I want us to go back to that place where we are pretending like we are Peter. How do you think Simon Peter felt at this point? I would have felt terrible about what I said earlier. Jesus, we've been working so hard all night and there's nothing out there. I would have been dumbfounded. I would have been in awe of Jesus. I would have been overjoyed. And then it might just hit me. I would be sad. Because I'd realize that the miracle wasn't really about the fish. Jesus was there for me. Jesus was there for Simon Peter. They'd met before. They had just met earlier at another miracle. But Jesus was here specifically to meet with Simon Peter. Luke chapter 4, verse 38-39, they meet at Simon Peter's mother-in-law's house. Simon Peter realizes that this encounter is for him. It was at this moment of Peter's greatest triumph and greatest success in his fishing career that a paradigm shift took place. This man, Jesus, this teacher, Jesus, really cared about Peter. He was in the presence of someone beyond success. He was in the presence of someone who was significant. It's okay to be overwhelmed. And that's why Simon Peter begs the teacher to leave. What is Simon Peter beginning to grasp about Jesus here? It's something that I hope that we grasp to and we walk away with today. That my pursuit of sin is a way for me to deal with my search for significance.
是我的罪阻拦了我追求生命的意义。
I slip into the bad habits, I slip into the bad thoughts, I slip into the bad things that I know I shouldn't do that keep me from God as a way to find significance.
我在一些坏的习惯当中坠落了，我也在一些坏的想法当中坠落了，但就是这些让我不能去追求生命的意义。
But what I'm really yearning for,
我实在渴望的是,
is not just a place or a status. My purpose can be found in following somebody. I'm moving fast here, but I'm going to say this. I'm 38 years old, and I've lived long enough to see the toughest people cry. I've seen champions in their workplace tremble. I've seen way too many unbelievers face death alone. You know, Jesus said to Peter, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." Jesus is the remover of fear. Do not be afraid is a command mentioned more than any other command in the whole Bible. In comparison to Simon Peter's call, I have a much tamer spiritual beginning. Nothing crazy happened like the healing of my mother-in-law. It probably wasn't as confusing with a fish, a truck full of fish falling on me in the highway. My story, your story, our journeys are just as different, but they're just as real. So I want us just to close by just examining three questions I'm going to put on the screen. And if we could just all just close our eyes right now. Three questions will be on the screen. And as we each of us examine our life today, on this Sunday afternoon, we start by asking, what is the condition of the spiritual boat that I am captaining right now? Do I feel like I'm sinking? 2 weeks ago, we had some time with your youth, and someone in the youth service, we did this anonymously. Someone wrote this, that they felt very alone in life. We don't know who this person was, but I want you to know, if you're here today, we've been praying for you. We have people in this room today that are feeling very lonely. In our lifeboats, am I dead in the water? Am I sailing along very fast? Am I perhaps sailing in the wrong direction? Wherever we each find ourselves this week, I want us to consider that Jesus is asking to come aboard. We've talked today about fear.
讲到了惧怕。
The pressure of performance.
讲到要成功表现的压力。
The freedom that we find beyond just success as a destination.
让我们找到了生命的意义超越要表现成功。
We can release our sin and our guilt to God so that He can give us true confidence.
我们知道我们要把我们的罪扔在神的面前，以至于我们可以得到真正的自由。
And thereby we find our calling and our identity in Him.
以此我们可以找到我们自我的定位在神的呼召当中。
May we follow Jesus this week, who will teach us, guide us, and lead us to live well.
希望在我们这个礼拜当中，我们可以跟随耶稣，让他带领我们能够活出更好的生命。
So just for the next 2 minutes, as we are as we have some silence, the slides are in English, but if Ju Chen could just every minute just read out them and translate it in Chinese. The three questions are right now.
在接下来安静的两分钟当中，有一个影片会在屏幕上。什么样的态度和行为在我们心中是如此重要，让我们去检查我们今天和这个将要
来的这个礼拜对耶稣的回应。你觉得下面的情况哪一个是最难的，让你被其他的人接受并认同是有特别的价值？第一是在陌生人当中，第二个是在学校当中，第三个是在工作场所，第四是在家里，第五是在教会，第六是我的朋友当中。对你来说，属灵的历程的下一步是什么意思呢？第一是做一些基本的补救工作，如祷告、读经、负责任。第二是转向耶稣，寻求他每日做决定的时候的引导。第三是在我的小组里有更深的尾声，把真正的关爱和同情表达出来，并且一直贯彻下去。第四是再次的审视我的目标和我的优，在生活当生命当中再次审视我的目标和我的优先次序。